Natural source.
One is born of our natural source.
Sri Jati. Creates.
Creates.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
All those materially born.
All those materially born.
Bhuta Atma.
Bhuta Atma.
Having a body of matter.
Having a body of matter.
Anugrahad. By the mercy of.
By the mercy of.
Dadrishe.
Dadrishe.
Kutsi.
Kutsi.
Yena.
Yena.
By whom? Tadrupam,
Tadrupam,
his form of body.
His form of body.
Nadi,
Nadi,
navel.
Navel.
Padma,
Padma,
lotus flower.
Lotus flower.
Samudbhava,
Samudbhava,
being born of.
Being born of.
Translation by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada. Brahma, who was not born of a material source but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord, is the creator of all those who are materially born. Of course, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord. Translation sponsored. Brahma, who was not born of a material source,
Brahma was not born of a material source,
but of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord.
But of the lotus flower coming out of the navel abdomen of the Lord.
Is the creator of all those who are materially born.
Is the creator of all those who are materially born.
Of course.
Of course.
By the grace of the Lord.
By the grace of the Lord.
Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord.
Brahma was able to see the form of the Lord.
The first living creature, Brahma, is called Aja because he did not take his birth from the womb of a mother, materially born. He was directly born from the bodily expansion of the lotus flower of the Lord. Thus, it is not readily understandable whether the body of the Lord and that of Brahma are of the same quality or different. This must also be clearly understood. One thing is, however, certain. Brahma was completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, because after his birth, he could create living beings by the Lord's grace only, and he could see the form of the Lord. Whether the form seen by Brahma is of the same quality as that of Brahma is a bewildering question, and Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get clear answers from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Om Ekena Kiranandasya Kiranjana Shalakaya Shakshra Muni Tamnena Tasmai Shri Guru Vedamaha Shri Chaitanya Murovi Samstati Tamnena Bhutale Swayam Bhakaramadam Kedati Swakaratikam Mukam Karuti Vajram Pangam Langaite Akipanta Mahamvande Shri Guru Dinatarina Pancha Kalpatri Vishra Vipasindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavanagyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse follows a discussion that we've been having about the transcendental spirit soul and how the spirit soul is different from the material body. So these are questions that Maharaj Parikshit is continuing to ask to Sukadev Goswami. So the first point of focus, of course, in this verse explaining the first created being, Lord Brahma, who sometimes gets referred to as Bhagavan in relation to Krishna. But also Lord Brahma himself makes sure that he knows his position. Therefore, in the second canto, when it's describing the process of creation, Lord Brahma himself is explaining how he is just a secondary creator, that he's not the primary creator. And in the beginning, of course, he states verses glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna, glorifying his supreme domain, his planet, the Vaikuntha Loka, the Vaikuntha Lokas, Goloka Vrindavan as being the topmost planet. And also in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear who the maintainer and the sustainer, and primarily who the creator is of both the material and the spiritual worlds. So Srila Prabhupada quotes the Isho Panishad Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasa Bhitam Mukham Tatvam Pusham Apavunyam Satyam Dhamaya Drishtaye. O Lord, you are the maintainer of everything, both material and spiritual, and everything flourishes by your mercy. Your devotional service, or Bhakti Yoga, is the actual principle of religion, Satya Dharma, and I am engaged in that service. So kindly protect me by showing your real face. Please therefore remove the veil of your Brahmajyoti rays so that I can see your form of eternal bliss and knowledge. So just as here, what's being established, of course, in this verse, is that by the grace of the Lord, Lord Brahma was not able to, not only was he able to see the Lord directly, but also he was able to become the secondary creator inspired by the Supreme Lord himself. So later on, as Lord Brahma continues to offer prayers to Lord Krishna, he states, Yena Saroshi Sabishvam, Roshi Tambro Chayamiyaham, Yatra Kwagni Yatra Suma, Yatra Rikshagraha Taraka. I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence, known as Brahmajyoti. So this is Lord Brahma speaking. Just as when the sun manifests as fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets, and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. So Lord Brahma aims, before he starts glorifying the Lord, he aims at clearing up the wrong impression which is held by many impersonalists, many materialistic persons who think that Lord Brahma himself is the supreme, or who think that the material energy is supreme, that the Lord is a result of the material contamination, or the modes of material nature are the cause of all causes. So Lord Brahma starts to make a very strong argument explaining how the source of everything, both in the material and the spiritual domain, in terms of creation, maintenance, and sustenance, is the Supreme Lord himself. So this wrong impression is, in modern day time, of course, is very clearly seen in the scientific world or in the socialist world, where people see only matter and they do not see in terms of spirit. So it is difficult for them in that type of consciousness to be able to accept that the design behind this universe, behind these bodies that we have, is a supreme person. Most understanding is that matter has come into existence due to the rubbing together of time, the modes of material nature. So matter is the cause of life, matter is the cause of consciousness. But actually it is only consciousness that has created everything. In the beginning, as Lord Brahma was sitting and meditating, and it explained his birth, he's Ajna because he did not come out of a mother's womb. He was born from the navel of Lord Vishnu, sprouting on a lotus flower. So he is unborn, and he did not take his birth from the womb of a material mother. He was directly born from the bodily expansion of the Lord. However, we understand that Lord Brahma is not Vishnu Tattva, so he is different from the Lord, although he is coming from the Lord himself. Just as we are the marginal or the Tattvastha energy of the Lord, we are prone to be influenced by the lower nature. Just as in different pastimes, Lord Brahma also gets bewildered. But that's a totally different topic. So when Lord Brahma was, after his creation, of course, he wanted to inquire about the source of his creation. Where is the beginning? What is the point to creation? So he started performing austerity. He started performing tapasya. And it is at that perfection of the tapasya, his sincerity and his determination to actually perform tapasya, he was able to get vision of the Lord. Not only did he get the vision, but he got the understanding of who Govinda was. So the Lord revealed himself in his true armed form, and he was able to show Lord Brahma the spiritual sky as well. Lord Brahma was able to see the spiritual world. So Lord Brahma is a secondary creator in the matter of the living entity's desire to lord it off, to lord it over the material modes of nature. So Lord Brahma is secondarily taking up what has already been provided by the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Brahma Samhita, these are verses that have sprung from the heart of Lord Brahma after realizing the personality of Krishna, after realizing his multifarious energies. Lord Brahma then sings different verses explaining the different potencies of Krishna, explaining the tattva of Krishna, and explaining the different mellows that one need to require in order to actually understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, one of these verses, number 40 in the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, Yasya prabhava prabhavato jagat anda koti kotish asesha vasudari vivichubhinam tad brahman nishkam ananta asesha bhutam govindam adipurusham tamahambhajami. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental bodily fountains known as Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited numbers of planets, etc., with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. So also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, the Lord explains Brahma hi pratishto ham, establishing that Lord Sri Krishna is ultimately the creator of the Brahma Jyoti, and all the subsequent expansions that come from the Brahma Jyoti, the planets, the living entities, etc. So this Brahma Jyoti, of course, it's sustaining all the planetary systems. It is all-pervading. And this is made possible, of course, by the potency of the Supreme Lord. So in the matter of creation, we understand that all the material elements are there in their subtle form and in their gross form. And it is only after the Lord casts his glance onto the material energy that it becomes agitated with time, with the modes of material nature, and it becomes agitated by injecting the living entities into the material sphere. So in this way, by the potency of the Lord, actually matter has its potency, its variety, and its value. But once we remove the Supreme Soul from the material elements, there is no value to it. We understand that the three Vishnus who are lying, who are different expansions of Mahavishnu lying on the Karnajal, expand into different universes, and from these different universes they further expand into the heart of every living entity, and in this way allowing the potency of creation, maintenance, and sustenance to actually go on. So this is all going on by the mercy and by the potency of the Supreme Lord, who empowers Lord Brahma to further the creation. He empowers Lord Brahma to expand the population by giving birth to so many sons who will further populate the different universes. And Lord Brahma, of course, being one of the first sons, Narada being one of the first sons of Brahmaji, in the second canto, Narada is also posing questions, asking about the process of creation. And different verses from the Brahma Samhita are quoted, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchananda Vigraha. All these verses have been quoted by Lord Brahma to Narada so that he can further understand who the Supreme Lord is and what his father's position actually is, what Lord Brahma's actual position is. Is he the Supreme or is he a servant of the Supreme? So Lord Brahma himself is conscious of his actual position, and this is important. Although he's the first created being, the most intelligent being in the material sphere, he knows his position as servant, no matter how powerful he is. So this should also be a lesson for us. No matter what potencies we may have by the mercy of Krishna, understanding that everything is coming from Krishna, even when we're in the material world, all the lessons we have, all the resources, all the permutations, all the contaminations of different material, gross and subtle combinations, they all have their foundation in Krishna. Because all these Shaktis are servants of Krishna. So we also have to understand our position in relation to the Supreme Person, Krishna. No matter how many qualities or potencies the Supreme Lord himself blesses us with. So Lord Brahma is showing us by example how to act in relationship to the Supreme Person. And in these matters, King Parikshit is posing to clear the understanding. Are we parts and parcels of God, or are we God ourselves? Because that is the general misconception, that we are little gods, or we are all one. And the point, or the goal of life, is to become one with Brahman. I am God, you are God. We greet each other, Om Namo Narayana. I offer my obeisance unto you, O Narayana. So these are all misconceptions coming from a lack of understanding that we are actually separate from God. We are coming from Him. We're emanations coming from the body of the Lord. But we are separate individual entities. We never merge to become one. Just as the example Srila Prabhupada would give of a bird in the tree. That a bird in the tree can fly onto the tree and it can camouflage itself on the tree, but it never becomes one with the tree. A chameleon, if you know the chameleon lizard, it camouflages itself with whatever tree it's on. If it's green, it will change itself to green. If it's brown, it will camouflage itself to become brown, but it never loses its identity. So we're also created, we're coming from the pores of the Lord, we're coming from the Lord Himself, and at the time of final annihilation, the living entities go back into the body of the Lord, but that doesn't mean we lose our individuality. We always remain separate, although we're coming from the Lord. So that is a very, very important fact in spiritual science, to understand we are eternally individual. And this concept of merging or becoming one, it is a very temporary one. It is an impermanent one, because that is not our natural proclivity. It is not our natural state of being. So to have this understanding at the beginning of our spiritual life, it is very important, because it gets rid of so much speculation about our existence. And if our foundation is good, understanding our relationship to Krishna, we act properly. We do not act to try to exploit or to try to enjoy or to try to be the proprietor of the different manifestations of matter in this world. We understand their place and we understand how we fit in. So this is an important point made here in this purport, that Lord Brahma, of course, whether he's, the last line is whether the form of Brahma and the form of the Supreme Lord, from who he emanates from, are they of the same quality, are they of the same potency? Now this is established in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is explaining, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purpose that we are godly by nature, we are of the same quality, we are spirit, but because of our marginal tendency, the spirit becomes covered over by matter, by gross and subtle matter. And the Supreme, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Lord himself never becomes covered over by matter. He's always in his original transcendental form, in his original transcendental consciousness. He never deviates, he's never tainted or contaminated by matter. So the qualities of the living entity are coming from that Supreme Source. And to the degree that one becomes pure, these qualities also manifest. The qualities of the soul will manifest to the degree that we become purified. And unless we actually are linked or are attached to the Supreme Lord, these qualities won't manifest. They will always just lie dormant. This is explained also in the Nectar of Devotion, that we are of the same quality of the Lord. Yes, we have the potencies, similar potencies to Krishna, but they will only manifest to the degree we perform pure devotional service. Otherwise, these auspicious qualities become covered over by gross and subtle matter. So we eternally remain separate from the Lord. We have our individual existence, and we perform our service in relation to our origin. So Lord Brahma is the secondary creator, and he's obtaining everything, the intelligence, the impetus to create. He's obtaining all of that from the Supreme Lord. Everything has already been provided. All the ingredients, all the elements have been provided. Now he's using his intelligence, he's using his strength in further expanding the universal creation by the will of the Lord, by the potency of the Lord. So everything is always done in relation to the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma also is explaining to Narada Muni that sometimes the less intelligent class of men call him the supreme controller because they cannot understand the invisible potency of the Lord. So just as Srila Prabhupada always stresses that we try to understand Bhagavatam by studying from Canto 1 to 10, so that we are well aware of the different varieties of Krishna's manifestation, be it through his material energy, different grades of that material energy in their gross and subtle form, gradually understanding the spiritual internal pleasure potency of the Lord. And in this way we understand who is supreme and who is subordinate, who is the master and who is servant. By understanding all these classified aspects of Krishna in terms of his shaktis, we're able to understand what our position is in relation to the source of the creation. So we also have to be conscious of our position. We should not try to become masters, although we have little dominion over our body, over our house, our car, our bank accounts, etc. We've been leased this body in this life. We're paying rent so many different ways. The body gets diseased. We go through old age, we suffer mentally. So many different things come with this bargain of a material body. But we use it accordingly in Krishna's service so that we can get liberated. And the liberation that a devotee of Krishna is looking for is not that of merging into Krishna's body or acquiring some mystic potencies. The liberation that the devotee is looking for is the liberation in which one is reinstated in the original constitutional position, and that is servant of Krishna, in one of the primary or secondary rasas. That is the liberation that a devotee is looking for. And as explained also, that liberation, the presiding deity of liberation, of course, is always waiting at the lotus feet of the devotee, because liberation also wants to serve the devotee, understanding the magnanimous position of a devotee who never forgets Krishna. Liberation understands that the devotee is always taking shelter of Krishna, that the devotee's heart has been completely purified, and Krishna is residing there. Therefore, liberation also wants to serve, acting as a maidservant, wants to serve the devotee of the Lord, because they can give shelter, they can give Krishna. So this is the supreme position of being a servant. That sometimes it is very, not sometimes, it is very auspicious. It is mostly auspicious to recognize ourselves to be a servant, and we get to experience Krishna at every step, and we get to always relish the connection of having Krishna, either in our meditation, either through our prayer, either through chanting of the holy name. We're always getting to experience Krishna. So, what Srila Prabhupada has created in his temples, in his books, is the firm foundation for spiritual life, that we are different from the body. The material body is separate from the mind, it is separate from the intelligence, it is separate from the soul. So the soul has its needs, and the needs of the soul is actually to serve in connection with the Supreme Person. And the process of Bhakti Yoga is an opportunity for the soul, the living entity, to connect with the Supreme Person. So questions and answers, in spiritual life are of high value. Throughout the Bhagavatam we hear King Parikshit questioning Sukadev Goswami. We see different persons, the sages of Namai Sharanya, questioning Shonika Rishi for him to expand on these topics. We see Maitreya Rishi with Vidura having discussions. So these questions and answers are very important, because they will clear the misconceptions that have arisen out of associating with matter. Because association of matter brings about forgetfulness, it brings about ignorance, and it brings fear. Material existence is characterized by fear. Fear of not knowing who we are, fear of not knowing what our direction in life is, and fear of not knowing what death actually means. One who is actually in knowledge of the material world, how they function, how it functions, is not fearful. But one who is always acting in conjunction with Krishna, understanding the supremacy of life being eternal, of the source of life being life itself, is not put into fear. But one who is submerged into material consciousness or material activities, it is almost impossible for them to become fearless at the point of death, because they do not know that it is temporary. They do not know that death is just a stage of the body changing. But one who is in knowledge of the nature of matter and how it works, and one who is in knowledge of the nature of spirit and how it is eternal, always constant, dynamic, full of variety, one who is in nature of this is not fearful at that time of death. They are sober and they are calm in their mind. This is explained in the previous few verses. And also by Prahlad Maharaj, where he explains that the process of Bhakti Yoga makes one very calm in material existence. It makes one very peaceful, so that they can actually keep evolving in their consciousness. So when one knows what they are, when one knows what spirit is, what matter is, and when one engages in the process of Bhakti Yoga, paying special attention to the process of hearing and chanting, specifically hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name and the glories of Krishna, one can actually purify the heart for good and become reinstated in the original constitutional position. So this is the flow in which Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions, clearing all doubts about the position of a living entity who is coming, who has been created by the Lord Himself, how we are different from the Lord. Nonetheless, we are eternal, and how we should connect with the Supreme Lord through service, through hearing. And in that way, we will be freed from the clutches of material existence. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
So we've got to the point where we're saying that, as Prabhupada describes in the purport, that the body of the Lord and that of Brahma are of the same quality, or are they of the same quality, or are they different? And I was just wondering if you remember where the discussion arose.
Okay, the discussion is going to further on go to. There's more questions, they're not answered yet. So Maharaj Parikshit will ask more questions about about the Virat Purusha, the gigantic Virat form of the Lord, and what the duration of creation, maintenance and annihilation is in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So there's more questions that he's going to be asking in relation to this first one, where we get a glimpse of, is Brahma's body of the same quality of the Supreme? So the answers that are going to be given are going to highlight the potency of the Lord in terms of His gigantic universal body, what it can do, and just look at Lord Brahma's body and how Lord Brahma, His entire being, is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. His ability to be the secondary creator is dependent on the primary creator, which is the Lord Krishna. So more questions are going to be asked, and as they get answered, they'll magnify the wonderful attributes of Krishna from His universal form down to His process of creating the material cosmos. And in that way, we'll be able to understand that the body of the Supreme Lord is very, very different from that of a living entity, of a jiva, even as powerful as Lord Brahma.
We understand that the Brahma is the in charge of mode of passion. Now, when he's been empowered to create the living entities by the mercy of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
again, more under the three most material nature. Now, the question comes that he himself was affected by the three most. Now, in the past time, when he was attracted to his daughter, Lastili, and also Brahma, mm-hmm. Now, the question comes when he is creating the living entities of the three most material. Being in charge of the three modes, one of the modes.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you understand? Is it completely creating, or then he himself got some affected defect? Now, the modes which is created also is defective, or is complete for living entities?
So, what was the last part? The modes that are created?
Now, he was in charge. Is in charge of one of the modes.
Uh-huh.
He himself is not completely
aloof.
Because uh-huh. he says that he's all from about transcendental
mode. Uh-huh.
But at the same time, he's also getting affected by three modes.
Okay. So this is going to be part of the answer given by Maharaj Parikshit, expanding on the position of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is a powerful living entity. And just as we experience ourselves, I mean, we're very minute. We are well aware that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. And we act in that capacity by hearing His pastimes, by chanting Hare Krishna, engaging in devotional service. Yet throughout the day we tend to forget. We mentally might fall into a little bit of mode of passion or ignorance. So we get affected as well. Whereas the position of Lord Brahma, he is the, we could say, the predominating controlling deity of mode of passion. He's in charge of that mode. And most of the time, of course, by Krishna's grace, he doesn't get so affected by it. But sometimes he does get affected by it. And that is the nature of a living entity. Sometimes he will get marginal means, we will get affected, either by most of the time the internal pleasure potency or the external energy. Lord Brahma's position, of course, Prabhupada always gives emphasis that these pastimes of very powerful, elevated souls are very special, and they've been handpicked just an example to show us that even from the topmost person in the universe, Lord Brahma, down to the insignificant ant, we can get to experience coverings of the modes. So sometimes even Lord Brahma gets covered over. And this is by the direction of Krishna's yogamaya potency. You see, as Brahma Vimohana Lila, that pastime happens to Lord Brahma as a way to coronate Krishna as Govinda, so that we can understand that this cowherd boy indeed is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord allows this pastime to go on without no one's noticing, so that in the end, that distinction can be made, that the original form of the Supreme Lord is this cowherd boy in Vrindavan. So we understand the position of Lord Brahma. Yes, he's in charge of the mode of passion. He uses it in a service to create, just as we might be given charge of something here, whether it's, you know, having some type of opulence coming from Krishna. We can have our view to fame, knowledge, but sometimes it can go to our head and we get influenced by it, we get contaminated thinking, I'm the most powerful, I'm the most beautiful, the most educated, and that can contaminate us. Well, Lord Brahma's situation is also similar. He is a secondary creator. Everything has already, all the ingredients are there for him to use, and they're supplied by Krishna. Now, because he's also a jiva, a powerful jiva empowered by Krishna, but he also can at times get affected by passion. But that's not the, you know, he's not predominantly acting like that. It is sometimes these pastimes have happened to him as a form of giving us examples about how careful we should be when dealing with the females of material nature, how powerful they are if we're not attentive enough. But with most of these persons like Lord Indra, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, these pastimes are very specific because they themselves have been orchestrated by the Lord to teach how to behave in such instances, or how careful we should be. Jagannath Mahaprabhu, can you add? Please. Any questions?
So, you distinguish between the different tattvas, there's jiva tattva, vishu tattva, shiva tattva, and jiva tattva. So even Lord Shiva sometimes appears to become affected by material energy.
That one is very difficult to understand. Because
yeah.
He's not Vishnu, nor is he a normal living entity. He's his own tattva. Now, can you imagine, in all of creation, there's one personality who has his own tattva, because it's just so difficult to understand him. Right, he has, you know, there's of course there's Shiva in this material world, then there's Sadashiva in the spiritual planets, who is none different from Mahavishnu. But Lord Shiva, his position is never to be copied or mimicked or compromised by his followers. Yes, he drank poison, or he smoked ganja, or he lives under a tree, he does this and that. His activities are very, how do you say, avadut-like. But he doesn't fit into any type of social institution. He's his own self. So also when Lord Shiva gets bewildered, or when Lord Shiva wants to see the Mohini Murti incarnation, which is Lord Vishnu, coming in the form of a woman, he himself gets bewildered in the presence of his wife. But this is to glorify the Lord, to sit to the whole world that look at how powerful Lord Vishnu is. He can also bewilder me, Lord Shiva. So these examples, they're tailor-made to make a specific point. But the tattva in itself of Lord Shiva, he's not Vishnu, nor is he a jiva. He's Lord Shiva. He's himself. The body of Lord Brahma is made of pure intelligence.
Is it in terms of the five elements of fire, air, water, or is it?
That's more in terms of, if you read in the second canto, the cause of all causes, chapter 5, and the previous chapter, the process of creation. And when we understand what actually happened when the Lord Brahma, because indeed if his body before was made of just pure intelligence, he wouldn't have had to meditate for so long. I forget how long he actually meditated for. He could have just created as soon as he was sitting on the lotus. It could have just happened. But he actually had to get his intelligence from somewhere in order to create. So that intelligence that came when he heard the mantras that came from Krishna's flute, which inspired him from within the heart, that intelligence, that is coming from Krishna. The intelligence to create, to manipulate the elements, that is all coming from Krishna. So when his body is made of pure intelligence, whatever purity we have actually, that is coming from Krishna. Because all these qualities have their origin in Krishna. And when we are purified enough by the process of meditation, by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, all these qualities come rushing in by the mercy of Krishna. I think in one of the verses it does say that, I think it's Trivedi's verse, even just the ability to see the Lord, that was by the Lord's mercy. The ability by Lord Brahma to actually have that vision, to see Goloka Vrindavan, that was special mercy from the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, he himself says that we can only see Krishna by eyes anointed by pure love. And when we have that qualification, the Lord gives us the vision. So this pure intelligence, it is coming from Krishna, which means, you know, it says when one is in knowledge, all nine gates of the body, has become purified in the mode of goodness, the nine gates of the body have knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. So also when we have purified every single aspect of our body, that pure transcendental sound vibration purified, our senses become purified. Just like the fire, the iron rod you put in the fire, it becomes like fire. It acts like fire. So the senses of Lord Brahma will act purely because they have been touched by the supremely pure Krishna. So his intelligence, his mind, his consciousness become pure because they have been purified by Krishna himself. And in that way his body becomes, or his intelligence becomes pure because he's given it to Krishna to use in his service.
How do you describe that?
just the pure symptoms.
So we can see that in our previous acharyas.
Yeah, we can see that in the example of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, their absorption in bhakti, they purchased Krishna and they performed amazing activities. Their preaching methods or their ability to translate and write books, as Srila Prabhupada would say that Krishna himself would dictate and he would just write. So allowing ourselves to become instruments of Krishna requires a lot of purity. So when the qualification is there, just like Krishna used Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because he allowed himself to be an instrument, he gave his senses to Krishna, he gave his body to Krishna, he gave his words to Krishna. And in that way, not only did Krishna glorify him as his servant, but he showed what it means to be fully engaged in the Lord's service, that the Lord uses you, the Lord uses us in his service to our actual benefit. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose if we surrender our senses to the master of the senses, Rishikesh. Then we can do amazing things. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that one cannot preach this Harinam Sankirtan without being empowered by the Lord himself. So when we have those qualities, when we've impressed the Lord, when we capture the Lord's attention by our devotional efforts, then he rewards us by giving us that bhakti shakti. And it is that bhakti shakti that is infecting whomever we meet while we preach. So we see that with Srila Prabhupada, what he did by just sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna, how much faith he had in the holy name. So many letters he would write to his god brothers to come to join him and spread the mission of his spiritual master, even offering them to become the acharya. I will work under you. I'll preach. You come and head it up. So the main focus is just the mission to establish the authority of Bhagavad Gita. If we are Bhakti Shastri, we learn the reasons why Prabhupada wrote these literatures or was establishing Bhagavad Gita as it is to show from authority the authenticity of Bhagavad Gita, explaining that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was his main goal in establishing ISKCON, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So like that, when we show our qualification to Krishna, he uses us as an instrument to further glorify Krishna. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your kind attention, and please forgive me for any shortcomings. Everyone's gone to the farm. There was no one to give class, so foolishly I just jumped on the Vyasa Sun and spoke something. So I hope you got something from it. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Try. Try.